Well, anybody else? Anybody else want to sing one? Come on now.
Done.
Huh? Yeah. All right.
I'll just hand deliver it any place.
That's what it's called.
Hand deliver money.
Come on. Sometimes I feel like I'm wore out, but hey. But when I think that then the Lord, he gives me a little more energy to keep on going. So, but if you will, I want to. I really didn't know what I was going to even preach on tonight, but it was a song up here. The book was turned to it. It's on the next page. It was 363, where we just sung a little bit ago, 361. And what this said, the title of the song is Dare to Be a Daniel. Dare to be a Daniel. And I thought, I got to thinking about that while I was here and while they were singing. And I tell you, one thing about the Holy Spirit will put something in front of you that you hadn't thought about before. And I believe that was the reason that this songbook was turned to that page where we sung 361, Sweet Hour of Prayer. And then the other song, the song that's 362, More Holiness, Give Me. Now, and then Daniel, on the next page is 363, page 363, and it says, Dare to be a Daniel. And this right here was sung by, I reckon it's Philip P. Bliss. He's the one that I reckon wrote it and pinned it down to where we'd have it today. But in the book of Daniel, you know, we can look at the book of Daniel. A whole lot of people, they don't want to get into the book of Daniel because they've always heard that the book of Daniel relates back to the New Testament. Then the New Testament relate to the book of Daniel. The book of Revelations relate to Daniel. And Daniel relates to the book of Revelation, the end time. And it does. And there's other books in the Bible that relates to another book that's in the Bible. This may be in the New Testament. The Old Testament naturally is going to be there somewhere in the New Testament. And the New Testament is going to be somewhere there in the Old Testament. Because you cannot have the New Testament without the Old Testament. You could not have the New Testament first and then come about, and then they say, then here we have the Old Testament. No. Because see, what we do, we need to remember about the past. And we know the past a whole lot of times can get us in trouble. And basically, that's what the book of the Old Testament is all about. It's about when they got in trouble. When the Jewish people. And when the people there got in trouble. And they would, God would lead somebody their way that would help them with their trouble. Even the children there of Israel. I mean, they turned their back on God. And when he did, that's when they went 400 years without hearing a thing from God. Without hearing a thing from the Holy Spirit. You say, well, the Holy Spirit hadn't come on the scene. Well, yes, it had. We can go back to the first book of the Bible, Genesis. We can even go to book of Exodus chapter 2 there. And where, or chapter 2 and chapter 3 there, when Moses, and when God was speaking to Moses about going and doing the work of God. And Moses was just like us. We was just like Moses at the time. We have too many of them today that was just like Moses was in the first two or three chapters there in the book of Revelation. I mean, the book of Exodus. Moses' mother, he just had been born, and she took him, and she went and took him down by the creek or the riverbed or whatever. And she knelt down and she got some straw and she got some mud and everything from the creek bed. And the reason for all of that was because she knew that if the soldiers had come her way and seen this child, a male child, that that child would be murdered. They would kill him right there on the spot. Because we can go back and we can see where in the book of Exodus, and we can go into the book of Leviticus when he went back and when he took and they went out there and they killed the goats and they killed the animals. And what did they do? They went by and they went over by the houses, all the homes in that area and all the homes around. They went by and they took the blood of the animal that they have just slaughtered. And they would take and put that blood over the doorpost. And the reason they put that blood over the doorpost was to where when the death angel came by, the death angel would see the blood on the doorpost. And the death angel would pass by and would not harm anybody that was in there. Because, see, the death angel was none other than Satan himself. And Satan knew, just like today, he knew that if he went through that door and went into that home, as soon as he got on the other side, he'd have no thought. He would have no thought at all about harming anybody. He would have had no thought about harming them, killing the little child and everything. Why? Because he went under the blood. That's what the blood there represented. And that blood represented to the cross of Calvary. And we had to have that blood applied to our lives. We had to be washed in the blood that Jesus so freely gave. That he gave his life for me. Even to this day, me up here preaching about it. I still don't understand it. But I understand what the Word of God is saying. I understand it because God inspired the Word of God. He breathed into the nostril of men His precious Word, that when He breathed into thy nostril the breath of life, He also knew that at that particular time who was going to pin down the Word of God for the people. He knew it. He knew it all along. And when you had the book of Exodus there, the Lord Jesus, He'd been mentioned, but it hadn't been mentioned as far as Jesus or as Christ, but He'd been mentioned through other individuals there, just like the Holy Spirit, just like Aaron there. He was mentioned, and Aaron is a type of the Holy Spirit. Because Aaron was helping his brother Moses to deliver God's word. And as he delivered God's word, he knew he needed help. He knew he needed help. And who did he get? Who did he get? He got Abraham. He got Isaac. He even got Sarah. Got Moses, Aaron, Ruth, Esther, Nehemiah, Joseph, Eli, Nehemiah. He got all of them to do His work. But it just didn't stop there. Then that's when the New Testament, right after that, a few years later, probably, I don't know, a couple, two or three, maybe four, five, 600 years later, then the New Testament came about. But the New Testament come about, and why did the New Testament come about? Why did it come about? Because Israel, the children of Israel, had turned their back on God. That's the reason we had the New Testament today. Because of what Israel had done. They had turned it back on God, and God knew it. So God says, okay, if that's the way you want to be, you're going to go 400 years and I'm not going to speak to you. I mean, I don't want to go a day. I don't want to go an hour without Him speaking to me. How in the world would I make it and going? And I know that the lifespan for us today is what the Word of God tells us is 3 score 10.
70 years.
Well, just say 70 years. How could I go all my life and not hear something from God? And not God saying, son, I love you. I love you, son. Can you just believe in my son? Can you just believe in what he done? He done it for you. He didn't have to do it. He didn't have to do it for you. He didn't even have to go into it. In the presence of Pilate. And when he did, which Jesus had done nothing, and even Pilate said, here's a man that's no, he hasn't done a thing. Hadn't done a thing wrong. What y'all accusing him of, he did not do. But the people, like today, all the people got together, and what did they say? Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him! You couldn't even hear anything else. They couldn't even hear Pilate speak out and says, crucify him. Why? He had done a thing. For see, thy voice was above his voice. That's the reason they crucified him. Then they took him, and they took him, and they placed him, and they took him on it where had that pole there. And they strapped him to that pole. They strapped his body. They put his arms around that pole. And they strapped him to the pole. And then they took the cattails. There wasn't nothing but like a whip. But it was other things that was tied to it. Called the tails on it. And what they were was the broken pottery. It wasn't just where the whip had got torn or something like that. Or braided or whatever you want to call it. He knew he had to go there. He was just following the Lord's orders. And here it is today, we can't even follow God's orders. We can't even follow Jesus' orders. And we have not even suffered anything for him. We haven't suffered for him. I ain't suffered for him. I ain't when I hear and had somebody come up and say, if you mention his name one more time, we're going to take him, we're going to tie him to that post like that, and we're going to beat you until we don't see nothing but red blood running from your body. And ain't nobody done anything like that to me. The only thing that people does stuff to me is when they're talking to me and they don't care anymore. And they'll use God's name in vain. Their damn God, in every sentence they come out with, they have got to have that vocabulary in them of damning God. And God had not done a thing against them. God has done more for them than what they'd ever realized. But then, after that, we're seeing in the Bible where the men and the ladies there, they prayed. And they just didn't pray for 10 or 15 minutes. They didn't pray for just 30 minutes. They didn't pray for just an hour. They prayed until God met with them when they was talking to the Lord. In 1 Corinthians, I think it is, 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 13, it says in the latter part of that, he's talking about that, what he's talking about that, he's talking about we must be about the Father's business, and I have before that. But in it, speaking of that verse, what he's telling us to do, we must minister to things. We must minister to people. And how are we going to minister to people if God don't never speak to us? We can't. Why? Because I don't know what to tell them to God, if God loves them or not. That's like before I got saved. I couldn't tell them that Jesus loved them. I couldn't tell them that God loves them. Because I didn't know. I didn't know if God loved them. I knew God didn't love me because of the lifestyle that I was living. But see, then after that, the people before that, they started praying for me. I have a grandmother. And a mother-in-law both. And a father-in-law. That stay in glory. And do you know who I want to see? Right after I bow at the feet of Jesus. And I want to thank him personally myself for what he done at Calvary for me. And saving my soul that I wouldn't have to worry about going to a place called hell. And I wouldn't have to worry about being agony all the time and not knowing anybody. Because see, people that go to hell, they're not going to know the individual that's standing right beside you. They're not going to know that somebody's standing there. Why? Because they're going to be in so much agony and so much pain. And they're going to be hollering so loud that they can't hear. But after I see Jesus, and after I thank him for what he done for me, I'm going to go, and I'm going to know them all. But I'm not going to know them. I'm not going to know my grandmother Murphy. It's Grandma Murphy. I'm going to know her as a saint of God. And I'm not going to know my mother-in-law. It's Gracie Sowers. Because she's not going to be my mother-in-law there. She's another saint of God. Then like my father-in-law. When I see him, I'm going to see another saint of God. Yes, he's a saint. Why? Because they love God. They love God so much that they was willing to set aside every night and remember my name. Call my name out to Jesus. Call my name out to the Father there in heaven. And my mother-in-law and my father-in-law, they didn't really know me all that well at first. Only thing they knew that me and their daughter had met on a blind date. Don't think that they knew anything about me. And when I went back and I picked up the next night, they was not standing at the door with no shotgun or anything else. They won't. You know why they won't? Because there was godly people. Because they had one thing on the heart. They had one thing on the mind. And that was to get in touch with Jesus. To get in touch with Jesus for me. That I could be a better husband to their daughter. That I could be a better man. And I could treat her right. They prayed for me. And my mother-in-law, I can see her right now. In the house right above me where we live at night. Back in that back bedroom. When she went to bed, she had that little light on there that she had on the back of her bedpost. And it was turned on. And she was reading the Word of God. She was reading the Bible. But before she started reading, you could always hear her praying. I can hear her today praying. And then at 11 o'clock, when me and my wife, we'd end up cutting the TV off and we'd go to bed. I'd always go back and check on her. And I'd go back in her little bedroom where she was at. And I'd go back and cut the light off. Because the light would still be on. But she had that Bible right there. Turned up like she was still reading it. But she was asleep. She was asleep. How did I know she was asleep? Because she's just like me. She snored. It wasn't all that loud, but I could tell she was asleep. That's who I want to see when I get to heaven, because I want to go to him and I want to thank my grandmother for praying for me, going to God for me. And not only did she go for me, but she went for my other three brothers and my other stepbrother and my stepbrother at the time. And she went for her daughter, which is my mother. And she went for my stepfather. She just didn't know to go for me. She went to him. Anybody that she knew, she called the name. And I believe that's what Jesus wants us to do. That's the reason he tells us to get in a closed closet. In other words, we need to get in our little closet by ourselves. When we're by ourselves and nobody else is around, there's no telephone. There's no little, the children's not running around and pulling on us and say, Daddy, I need you to do something for me. Mama, can I have some more something to drink, Mama? We didn't have no telephone in the closet. Matter of fact, we didn't have one telephone in the whole house. But now I've got four telephones in the house. And we all got iPhones. We can't live without them. We can't live without Jesus either. We can live without the cell phone. But we can't live without Jesus. We need Jesus more today. Why? Because the world is not like what it used to be. You can look around. We can take right now just for a moment. Just look around. Here in the church. And we can go back and we can reminisce over the past when you've seen other people here. And I know that some of them has died out. Some of them's gone home. Some of them has gone home and they're in heaven with Jesus. But see, while we was all here, we did not work hard enough to go about replacing the ones that's going to be leaving us. Because none of us can stay here forever. No one here. Like in the Old Testament, you had them living 200 years old, 300, 400, 500, 600 years old. People can't live like that no more. Why? Because of all the sin that's around us and because of the sin that we partake of. Because back then, and even back in the New Testament, we had Christians there that said, well, if what I'm about to eat, since you visited me, if it's going to offend you, I won't eat it. If it offends you, I'm not going to eat it. If it offends you, I'm not going to drink it. If it offends you, I'm not going to speak the way that I normally speak. If it offends you. Nothing offends anybody anymore. Even the Christians, nothing offends them anymore. Why? Because we don't come out and we don't say anything against it. But yet, we go out here and we We can go out here right now. We can leave this building and we can gather and we can pray. And in the morning I can say, the ones that are here, the ones that don't have to work tomorrow, to meet me at a certain place in Danville. And we're going to pray. And then each one of us is going to have a sign. The way it says, abortion is legalized murder. We can say that, but yet then they can come back and say, no, you can't say that. We'll even have the law enforcement to come up and say, you can't say that. If you do, it's going to offend somebody. Hey, they offend me because of the action that they take, because they don't believe in that child. That as long as a child is in their mother's womb, even from the day of conception, they do not believe that is a human being. But it is. Why? Because God placed that human being where it's at. And God allows the mother and the father to be able to where they can do the things that they need to do while God is blessing the family by allowing that child to grow. Why God allows some children to come forth and they have some kind of affliction or some kind of disease? I don't know. I don't know why. I can take a good stab at it. And I believe it's for the parents' well-being. Because the parents, a whole lot of the parents today, they'll use the children to get anything that they want today. To me, that's sad. That they would use an innocent child to get something that they're not willing to go about and do anything to help that child. They want everybody else to help them raise the children, but they don't want to have no part in raising the children. What's happened? What has happened? We've let them down. We've let them down. And we done let them down for so long. Now, it's almost impossible to get them back into church. But I know it's not impossible, because all things are possible as long as God's in it. Here in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, it says right here, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. He didn't go into a neighbor's home. He didn't go into somewhere else. Or if he was out there in the field or something like that, plowing or working. No. He went into his own home. His own home. His own house. Went into his house. And he and his windows. Now I wish we could do this today. I wish we could leave our windows up in a house. But we can't. If we do, when we get back home, When we walk in, we can just about guarantee anybody there's something going to be missing. Why? Because people knew that we had left. People knew that we didn't have no air conditioning. The people would know that we let all the windows up so that fresh air could get into the home. And the fresh air could remind us where it comes from. But it says, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he knelt upon his knees and gave thanks before his God. And he did aforetime. In other words, he done it before. He doing it now at the present. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any of God or man within 30 days, save of the, O King, a petition of my God or man within 30 days, save the den of lions. The king answered and said, the things is true according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. He had a petition that he needed to go to God 3 times a day. Not just once a day. Not just twice a day, but 3 times a day. But I go a little further than that myself. I believe with Daniel, what Daniel had been through with the king there, the king Nebuchadnezzar, and what he was going through with the 3 Hebrews boys, and what they was going through with the king, that Daniel was close to God at this point. Because right after this, right after the scripture that I read, you go on down and you can start reading in verses 16 down through 7, well, 16 to 17. And it talks about Daniel being cast into the lion among the lions and their den, where they was there day after day, looking after them own selves, and they was eating because they was caged in. Now they put Daniel there And they put Daniel in the same cage that the lions was in the den. And they locked the gate behind Daniel. And as they locked the gate, they said, We got him now. Just like they was talking about Paul and Silas. Just like the other individuals in the Word of God was talking about. We got him now. Just like the Roman soldiers there. Just like Satan. He says, I got him now. I got him now, and he ain't going to get loose now. I got him. He's not going to be able to get loose now because he's dead. They done placed him in that tomb. And I don't know whose tomb it was. They say it's not his. That it was a barred tomb. They said, I don't want to barred it. Because he's going to be there for a long, long time. See, Satan did not believe a thing he said. The king did not believe a thing that Daniel said. But what happened? Daniel just went in there. And he was probably tired and wore out. And he seen a lion over there. And he wasn't no little small, like a little cub or nothing like that. He was a full grown lion. Had some mouths on him. Anybody else would be screaming the head off. Because they'd be scared of that lion. That lion would eat them alive. See, Daniel knew whose side he was on. Daniel had been praying 3 times a day. It doesn't say for how long. But I believe ever since he knew God, he'd been praying 3 times a day. He was allowing God to look after him. Can't we allow God to look after us? Instead of just going our own way. Because when we go our own way, we end up in trouble. We end up in trouble. We'll back away for what God has for us. And we end up in trouble. Daniel knew God. So Daniel went over and he took one of the lions, the lion that was over there, the head of them, and made a move since they threw Daniel in a den of where nothing but was lions behind the bars and all of that and the rocks. And they threw him in out. Can't you imagine? Me throwing somebody in one of the fires or whatever, where they had the animals there, and they got a great big lion in there. Can you imagine me taking somebody and then walking him up to that gate and said, now you're going in there and you're going to stay. You think that they would just walk through the gate? No. They would hit me. They would kick me. They would claw me. They'd do anything they could to get away from me. But see, he didn't try none of that. He knew God was going to take care of him. If God will take care of him where he is among where some lions are, should not we believe that God would take care of us when we go out here and speak to somebody? They will not bring no harm to us. He will. But Daniel took that old lion that was over there. Great big lion. He went over and he seen where he needed to get some rest. And he laid down, he put his head upon that lion's belly and laid there to get some rest. The lion did not even turn his head. It doesn't say, but I don't believe the lion even turned his head. I don't believe the lion even growled, even when he laid his head down upon the lion. And not only that, I believe he had some other lions to come up where he was at. And there was another lion that he had there where he could take and prop up his legs. Where he'd been on his legs and been on his feet all day long. Yet, he needed to prop up his legs. Why? Because his legs, down at his ankle and up his leg calf, and they begin to swell, beginning to take on fluid, because he hadn't had to rest. And then the other lions, they just probably just walked right around them and laid a border all around Daniel, while nobody else could harm him. I'm going to tell you one thing. I'd rather have you on lions on my side than an army of 1,000 people. Because I know that them lions, when they go after them, they mean business. They ain't going to just go after them just to be going after them. They going after them, why? Because they mean business. See, it tells us in the first part of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 1 or 2 there, it says it, where Daniel had a purpose. Who was his purpose? His purpose was to please God. Every head bowed and eyes closed. We thank you, Father, for what you have given us tonight, Lord. And Father, we hope and pray, Lord, it was delivered in a way, and Father, that you would be pleased with it. And Father, if there's anything that I said that wasn't right, I pray, God, now, then, Father, that you may speak to my heart to where I can come to thee and ask you to forgive me for that. But, Lord, we ask now that you'll go with these people. Go to them to their respective homes. And, Father, I know, Lord, that when I just looked at the clock a few minutes ago, I seen where that I have really went over time. But Father, I am not apologizing for what you spoke to me about. And Father, and I hope and I pray the people that are here that heard the word of God, I hope and pray that they don't hold it against me. Father, I pray tonight and this week as we go home, Father, that we can be able to call that individual that has been so heavy on our heart. We don't know why they've been so heavy on our heart, Father, but you do. You placed them there. And we have a heavy heart for them tonight. Lord, help us, Father, that we may be able, if nothing else, if we can't pick up a phone and call them, that we'll just go out and we'll get a card. And we'll sign that card. And Father, we'll put a little something in there that can give them strength, that they can see where there are other people that loves them, and it probably don't even know them. Father, we need to be people of love. I love this church with all my heart. I love all the people that's here. with every being, every fiber that's in my body. But not only that, Lord, I love you more than I can ever say. I don't have enough words, and I don't even have the right words to say how much I do love you for what you've done for me. And we thank you, and we ask, Lord, you be with us each and every night and each and every day this week, Father. And Father, you'll bring us back to the next appointed time, which is going to be this coming Wednesday night. Father, we do thank you and we love you because this is in the sweet and the precious name of Jesus that we even come to you. It's because of his love for us and his love for the other people. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. I did not know it was that late.